This is Murray Leghorn, and welcome to Chicken Talk, a production of Chicken Internet Radio. Today's episode, Fighters or Farmers? The basis of all today's domestic chickens can be traced back to the wild jungle fowl living in Southeast Asia. Like the humans of that time, chickens could choose to be either farmers or fighters, and that basic split is still reflected by the wildly different lifestyles experienced by the industrial egg and broiler birds of today, as compared to their pampered and well-bred but generally doomed cousins found in the cock rings and game bird ranches. How much of chicken history is the direct result of chickens' obsession with status and their willingness to fight about it? Probably quite a bit. Modern gender theorists would no doubt make much of the fact that roosters have 17 times the hormonal levels of testosterone than human males do. But in truth, hens are nearly as bad when it comes to chest shoving and head pecking. At any rate, despite the allure of eggs and chicken stew, the first wild fowl were tamed and then traded because of their fighting abilities. The earliest cultural or historical sources on these matters point to India as a center of activity. The signature breed of India is the Asil, a powerfully built bird with deep-set eyes, a fierce expression, a short beak, and almost no comb or wattles. These chickens now have a worldwide following of enthusiastic breeders. Asil blood is found in many, many modern chicken breeds and is the basis of both our familiar Rock Cornish game hen and the generic grocery store rooster or broiler chicken. China, too, has had a long history with domestic fowl and developed mass brooding and egg production techniques long ago. Egg exports were an important part of the Chinese economy in the 1900s. Chinese chicken breeds played an important part in the great Western revival of domestic poultry breeding activity that took place from the 1840s onward. The Langshan is still a popular breed today, and Marco Polo commented specifically on the silkies he saw there during his travels, which he mentions as chickens with fur. Japan had domestic fowl and a famous fighting bird called the Shamu. Japan was also known for specially bred long-tailed ornamentals and bantam varieties. Fighting cocks were especially valued as possessions or gifts, so they were often provided a common ground when different cultures met for trade or diplomacy. In this way, traveling in wicker baskets or bamboo coops, the various breeds and types of chicken rapidly spread outwards in ever-widening circles through private and commercial channels of the ancient world. The base stock for Asian fighting birds was the Malay, a long-legged jungle bird with an upright stance and a heavily muscled body. Malays live in thickets and tall grass and are adapted to that environment from the tip of their low-cut comb to the least of their hard, tight feathers. Malays have adapted to a diet of bugs and flesh in addition to grain or greens and have a shorter intestine to prove it. They are great hole diggers who seek much of their food from under the earth's surface. They also tend to be more solitary than the more familiar Bankiva or European-style fowl that most of us are used to. Malays don't run in flocks. The 1800s saw widespread interest in the keeping and breeding of poultry throughout Europe and the Americas. As travel and exchange between Europe and Asia increased, the Asian breeds with their large bodies and upright stances caused quite a stir among Western poultry fanciers, who were quick to introduce Asils and others into established European bloodlines and to create a flurry of new chicken types. Changes in the look and style of fighting birds due to the introduction of Asian bloodlines was also inevitable. Furtive jungle fowl to a genus with over 100 species is quite a story, but for chickens, who have been the companions of emperors as well as that of gutter snipes, it's just the beginning. Thanks for stopping by. This has been Murray Leghorn, and this has been Chicken Talk.